And now, Judy, we're going to give you a proper introduction and go with Judy Hoy here.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Well, once again, here's Patrick and here's Judy Hoy, who we just kind of surprised her. She is the author of a new book called Changing Faces, The Consequences of Exposure to Gene and Thyroid Disrupting Toxins. She's a biologist, wildlife researcher, wildlife rehabilitator, along with her husband, Bob, who's a biologist and Montana game warden, now retired, began observing new birth defects and health issues in mammals and birds in western Montana over 20 years. And this new book is just her latest research. And if you buy it through Amazon, I think all the profits go to... Where do all the profits go, Judy Hoy?
To the Bitterroot Audubon Wildlife Rehabilitation Fund.
Oh.
And that pays for the medicine and food for the rehabbers to feed to the birds that they rehab.
Oh, people are rehabbing birds?
Oh, yeah. If somebody chops down a tree and the bird nest is in the tree, then rehabbers have to raise the babies. If the babies are... if the parents are both killed when somebody sprays their lawn, then the babies have to be rescued and raised by rehabbers. And then we can, once we get the babies, almost all the babies, if the parents are killed by somebody spraying their lawn, the babies almost always have symptoms of pesticide exposure, including an underbite, which they don't have when they're hatched. They just get that from being exposed after they're hatched.
Wow.
So that wasn't supposed to be possible, but I saw that happen on little goats that were exposed that were perfectly normal at birth and until they were 3 weeks old, and then the spray truck went by, and 2 days later they had a bad underbite.
How could it happen that quickly, Judy Hoy?
The baby, little animals grow really fast, and so they don't have a very bad underbite. By 5 days, they had a really bad underbite. I can send you the pictures.
That's amazing.
And then I had to catch them all and give them the pills, the little pill that makes their faces grow to normal again, because what happens is their calcium stops going into the cells that need it, and this bone stops growing. The affected bone, which is the premaxillary bone on a goat, and that is the upper facial bone that has the dental pad on it, and that stops growing, and so the lower jaw keeps growing, and pretty soon the lower jaw is out there in front of the upper in front of the dental pad.
And there's actually...
The lower teeth, I mean, are out in front of the dental pad.
Right. So these little self salts, you figured out a couple of them, actually, if you get them early enough, help them to get back to normal.
Right. The CalcFloss 30X will do it all by itself, but if you give them a bioplasma, which makes lots of minerals go... that's an electrolyte for lots of minerals, but the calcium is not... The calcium phosphate in the... Bioplasma isn't strong enough. The animals keep telling me all of these things. So, by timing on the animals, I can tell that the CalcFloss worked much faster. The 30X worked much faster than just the bioplasma alone.
Oh, the 30X. So does the CalcFloss and the bioplasma, and we're talking about these cell salts that are very inexpensive you can get on Amazon... I don't know if you get that 30X CalcFloss, maybe, but anyway, do they have an effect, before we really dig into what you've been seeing, do they have a really effect on, humans, animals, older kids, five-year-olds, whatever, and older?
Well, once the it fixes the underbite or overbite, it appears to. I don't have kids, but the parents that used it, one little girl had a really horrible underbite. Her whole upper face was underdeveloped, including her skull, which meant her brain was going to be underdeveloped, and she was really homely. And her mom gave her the Calc Floss 6X because I hadn't discovered yet that the 30X worked better. Mm-hmm. And the next time I saw the little girl, which was 2 years later, and I forgot to ask the mother how long it took for the little girl to grow to normal, she had a normal bite, a normal face, and it was really pretty.
Oh, and what age did she start?
And she was 3 when the mom started and 5 when I saw her. And I forgot to ask the mother how long it took. But as long as you give it before they cut their adult teeth, that it probably works on a human. On a baby animal, it has to be done before they're 4 or 5 months old because they run out of growing space.
I see, because they
get so big that there's not much. Sure. If they have a really bad underbite, it doesn't quite grow to normal.
Right. Wow. Can you explain to us what your best evidence is in research that what, say, glyphosates are doing and what the mechanism is for people and also for the animals and the underbites and the malformed jaws? What's going on? Do you know for sure?
Well,
sure is tough. Yeah.
Never say for sure.
Never say for sure
anything.
Right.
But from what I can determine, there are several mechanisms that glyphosate does. It disrupts the retinoic acid, and that causes facial malformation. It disrupts the sonic hedgehog genes, which dictate the placement of organs and facial bones and et cetera. So that one might be affected. It disrupts the calcium and the manganese,
right.
Manganese is very important in making the calcium work. So by disrupting both of those, it causes a very serious effect. And that's the one I highly suspect is probably the one that is especially gets disrupted after they're born, because it happens so fast. The underbite happens so fast, and then it grows back to normal if you give them the pill.
Yeah,
the Calc Floss.
So there are also.
With mineral disruption, now Roundup / glyphosate is a patented mineral disruptor. So the reason that ruminants and humans too have the effects more than other animals, say cats, dogs, things like that, things that eat lots of foliage get disrupted far worse than dogs, cats, or carnivores, or even omnivores. But because they eat so much foliage that has the Roundup on it, which falls from the sky in the rain and the snow, and it gets on all the leaves, and then when the rain evaporates, it leaves this on the leaves, and then the animal eats it, and they get so much Roundup that their minerals are chelated, and they don't get that many minerals from the foliage anymore because Roundup, the way Roundup kills the plants is it chelates the minerals that go to the plants. So the plants don't have the minerals that they used to have. For instance, corn was tested, and instead of 6,000 parts per million or something like that, it was 6,000 anyway, as opposed to about 10
on the minerals
for calcium alone in corn. I mean, it just totally wiped out the calcium in the corn.
So Roundup actually chelates the minerals out of the weeds or whatever
right,
touches.
Well, out of the plant. Yeah. Well, Roundup kills every plant it kills. Its mode of operation is to chelate the minerals, and that's the way it kills the plant. So if you spray any plant that is not Roundup ready with Roundup, including grass, you name it, it will kill it.
Hmm.
But what falls in the rain is not enough to kill the grass and everything, but it does chelate a lot of the minerals that go into the grass, because the rain falls, of course, on the soil too, and then the roots take up the Roundup along with the water, and that basically makes the plants mineral deficient. They don't have minerals in them to feed whatever eats them.
Yes, yeah. And the glyphosate component is what? The component. In other words,
Well, Roundup.
Roundup is glyphosate, right?
Roundup main ingredient is glyphosate,
gotcha.
But Roundup has lots of other things in it to make, like POEA, which is very damaging to lungs and probably is what caused me to have pulmonary fibrosis, and other people in our area to have pulmonary fibrosis. Pulmonary fibrosis was never heard of a few years ago. Now lots of my friends have it, and it kills you pretty quick. So, and there's no cure and no treatment, and you just die.
How far away as the crow flies are you from a lot of the spraying that's going on of the Roundup?
Oh, well, they spray Roundup like crazy here in the valley where I live.
Oh, do they?
But the thing that they didn't spray, that they started spraying in huge amounts in the states west, and they never didn't use it at all here, was chlorothalonil, which is a fungicide which has cyanide in it, which is that insane or what?
Wow.
Spraying cyanide everywhere.
That's cyanide.
I don't understand the logic of that. But they sprayed millions and millions and millions of pounds. Some of the potato fields in Idaho were sprayed two or three times a week. In 1994, 95, 96, 97, all the way to 2001, when the potato market crashed, and they plowed up a lot of the potato fields and stopped using quite so much chlorothalonil. But in 1994, they started using millions of pounds of chlorothalonil. They were using Roundup and lots of other chemicals here and in other states. But when they started using all of that chlorothalonil with the cyanide in it, it damages the kidneys, the cyanide does. and the chlorothalonil with the cyanide in it damages the kidneys, so the kidneys are not able to detoxify other chemicals, other toxins. So when they suddenly, so everything couldn't detoxify other things, and that's when the birth defect started in 1995 in the spring, even though they hadn't started using millions more pounds of Roundup in 1994. They were using enough Roundup and other things here that the malformation started in the spring of 1995. And then they were even worse in 1996. And then in the summer of 1996, they released Roundup Ready crops, and they started using jillions of pounds of Roundup. And by 1997, I couldn't hardly keep an animal or a bird alive in my rehab center.
Wow.
Me.
Now, we're talking with Judy Hoy up in Montana. Her new book is called Changing Faces, The Consequences of Exposure to Gene and Thyroid-Disrupting Toxins. If you buy it through Amazon, get a paperback for $12, and the profits will go to their whole center there in the, is it called Bitterroot Mountains, to help keep the...
The Bitterroot Audubon Wildlife Rehab Fund is the fund all the money goes into
for
the book.
Oh, that's great. Good for you. We're going to take a quick little break here with Judy Hoy. If you have a question, Judy, stay right there. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. It's amazing people like this around the world doing this kind of work just because. These little angels like Judy Hoy, and just great. God love her. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick, OneRadioNetwork.com. Well, it's a cinch with you thinking about the rain and the water and stuff like that. We certainly it's a challenge, you know, to keep these little bodies going full speed ahead. I mean, it's a challenge even for those of us who are really in tune. And so we detoxify, and we like the saunas a lot to do that. There's different herbs and stuff, of course, for detoxification. We like the rebounder a lot because it really moves the lymph system. And as you know, that's the chief mechanism to detoxify the lymph. I like to get on there and do the health bounce in the morning and lift the arms up and rub under the arms and the lymph and pound away on it, you know, like this. I'll just beat away, you know, I'm doing it now. And that's a nice thing to do, and you can do the health bounce. Check out these rebounders if you like to, take your health to another level. I've been rebounding now for 25 years, and it's just a wonderful tool. $339, it's delivered for that in the contiguous United States, $339. We don't ship them much outside the United States. They're just so heavy, and they're just very heavy, very expensive. So, but inside the United States, $339 delivered, and it's a great product. And this guy has a lifetime warranty too. Lifetime warranty. If you'd like to get some fresh aloe vera gel, you can look at the Stockton Aloe One product. We've talked to Michael Haley, a great guy down in Florida. He's using just the pulp. It's a wonderful product. Aloe vera is really cool. Comes in fresh frozen. Thaw it out. Had a big slug of it this morning, about 4 ounces. And ongoing, I think there's nothing better than to keep your little tummy happy. Detoxifies the liver. Does a lot of great things. Stockton Aloe One. 100% pure, fresh, frozen aloe vera gel. It's not pasteurized. Nothing. Not cooked. No chemicals. Nothing. Nada. Just that. And you can click an order and get yourself... Doodle's doing her doggy. Doodle, she's doing her doggy yoga. She gets on her back. Okay, Doodle, lay down here. Lay down. She gets all excited. It comes in with 2 1-half-gallon containers and a styrofoam container, and you'll get some face gel with it. Yeah, doggy yoga during the show is great. She gets on her back and does her feet up in the air. Doggy yoga. Anyway, get some aloe. Click on the aloe ad right on the front page of One Radio Network. Previously, with our friend Brandon Amalani of Shen Blossom.
A good example of this also is like the Hoshuwu formula. That is that's a new one that came out. It's really good because it's a blood builder. A lot of people don't understand that Hoshuwu is actually toxic if it's not prepared correctly. So I wanted to come out with one that not only features the Hoshuwu as the king herb in the formula, but it's prepared of a minimum of 14 days. Usually we try and get 20, 21 days of cooking it. So you can think of it as like it's in a slow cooker with black beans. Huh. And it's basically just cooking down and deactivating some of those liver toxic compounds. So we do use that as like the bulk of the formula, but we basically put a lot of like mature ginseng root, like in our root extract. We have the fermented and hydrolyzed pearl powder, reishi stem. And it's got shudihong, which is like a Romania type family. We got both the prepared warm stuff and then the cool stuff to kind of balance it out in a sense so it doesn't become sticky. If you get a good quality hoshuwu that's properly prepared, it definitely has some invigorating qualities to it and makes you feel relaxed, but yet fully vigorous and energized.
Now, that's the kind of hoshuwu that you would like, right? Really nice products, as you can hear. If you'd like to order hoshuwu or the other products, click on Shen Blossom right there on the front page, OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously on Open Phones with Sharon and Patrick, a lady called in and said,
The sulfur. I've probably been taking it for a year. My functional medicine doctor didn't want me to take it. And finally, one day I said, screw it, I'm going to take it. And I'm so glad I did because it gave me energy, which is what I was wanting. But the thing it did it did a lot of things, but the two things are energy and the other thing, which a woman called in months ago, and that's why I wanted to report this because it was so amazing. I was taking 11 glutathione recycler pills that are really good for chemical sensitivities because I'm severely chemical sensitive. So that was working, but 11 pills was a lot. And when I started taking sulfur, I was able to reduce to 3 Now I take 3 a day of glutathione recycler and the sulfur. And that's, it's helped my chemical sensitivities, major.
That's great.
That is cool. You can order sulfur right now. 3 prices, United States, Canada, and worldwide. And also, if you want more than 4 pounds for family and friends or just a better price, because we give you a discount, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. But you can click away if you'd like and order right now.
You are greater than the universe. You are brighter than the sun. You are deeper than the sea. You are love.
To talk to Patrick, call 888-663-6386. Or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Well, we're talking with Judy Hoy of Montana. She's a real rock star when it comes to trying to figure out what's going on with these little aminals and this whole glyphosate thing and up in Montana. So, Judy, you've been doing this for a long time now. Have you talk about what you've seen as far as the increase, decrease, stay the same, or the... what's going on with the animals? I mean, is it getting worse? More of it?
Little kids are animals, too. So when I'm talking about baby newborns, I'm talking about little kids, too.
Oh, babies, too. Yeah.
Right, babies, too.
Mm-hmm.
And our third study, which I think I sent you,
yeah.
Showed that in all the charts. The glyphosate went up at about a 45-degree angle, and all of the birth defects and health issues that we found on the wildlife here, my colleague pulled the CDC records for lots of birth defects, and not just those, but other birth defects and health issues, plus the ones that were found on the animals, and we found that the ones that were on the animals here were going up at a 45-degree angle on the little newborn humans.
Hmm.
And that correlated between 85 and 98.5% with the increase in the use of glyphosate. Anything over 80% is significant. And that was on 12 different issues.
Wow. And who did this study, and how big of a... Talk about this study. How did you do that?
Well, like I said, I contacted Stephanie Seneff,
yeah,
and Nancy Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy made the graphs, and Stephanie pulled the CDC records. But first I contacted them and sent them the photos of the various birth defects, like thymus defective or... very small, underdeveloped thymuses. The thymus on a newborn is their main immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And so without a thymus, they get bacterial or viral infections really easy and die, especially if they're wild and they don't have any medical people taking care of them. With a human baby, they put them in the hospital and give them stuff. But the wildlife just die.
Yeah.
And so... The veterinarians, sometimes there were from 35 to 50 animals, sometimes newborn calves down some years in between 1995 and 2001 here in the our county.
Hmm.
And so it doesn't do them a whole lot of good. So speaking, and you were talking about sulfur, one of the things that glyphosate does is causes a total disruption of the sulfur metabolism. So if you are exposed to glyphosate, you need more sulfur. So that will help promote your sulfur. But I just wanted to say that because it's the truth. And so glyphosate and chlorothalonil and neonics all work synergistically.
Hmm.
And I have seen malformed butterflies. So it doesn't make malformed just mammals or malformed birds or malformed amphibians, etc. It also, well, or malformed vertebrates. It makes malformed invertebrates too.
So do you think that your area with the mountains is unusual, getting the stuff from the rain and the drift and the water and the snow, or can you conjecture that it's similar pretty much around the country? The amount of coverage, or how would we know, really? I guess we wouldn't.
Oh, all you have to do is Google underbites on horse foals and images, mm-hmm. and see where all of the underbites on horse foals are throughout the United States. You'll see they're everywhere.
Wow.
And if you do the same thing with deer, the hunters everywhere show these malformed deer with malformed faces. Back east, they call the ones with overbite. That means their lower jaw is too short in front of the premolars. That can be fixed with the calc floss, too, if you have an animal born with that, or a baby. That's more common now on human babies, according to my dentist that I consult, than the underbite. It's the whole lower jaw and the chin are underdeveloped. You can make it grow to normal if you give. But you can also, the mom can take the calc floss, and it will go through the milk into the milk. It will go into the bloodstream and then into the milk and into the baby when they suckle.
Oh, yeah. So do
but
we.
But at any rate, to answer your other question, mm-hmm. which I forgot what it was now.
Let's see. We were just talking about other places around the coverage.
Oh, other places, right.
Right.
So you can type in any animal just about that lives in the United States and images, and you will get lots of pictures, and you can see where they all live.
Huh.
And you will see that's all over the United States. I also have a veterinarian friend in Mexico, and he's studying the underbites on the cattle in Mexico. I have lots of colleagues or friends or consultants, whatever, people I consult, whatever, in Canada. And the same in Canada. The moose in Canada, and the United States, are declining so fast that they are worried about them going extinct. And one of the problems on the moose is underbite and overbite.
Wow. Judy Hoy is with us. If you'd like to join the show, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So this stuff gets in the water, either through snow or just runoff, and do we know what kind of a system it would take to get this stuff out of the water? Do you have any ideas?
I haven't a clue. I can tell you this. When they were spraying, I don't know how much they sprayed last year, but in 2013, they sprayed 180 million pounds of Roundup in the United States alone. That doesn't count Canada and Mexico.
In what year?
Well, I know they sprayed that much in 2013.
Wow.
But probably 14 and 15. And
there's
then,
more.
Too.
Right. Yeah.
Each year they sprayed that much.
Wow, 100 million pounds.
Okay, now, what I did was I determined the number. I looked up the number of square miles in the United States alone, the lower 48, not Alaska, but just the lower 48,
mm-hmm.
and then did the math, and that came out to be about 47 plus pounds of Roundup sprayed on every square mile. A square mile isn't very big, by the way. That's 1 mile each way in a square of land.
Right.
So that's not really very big. And 47 pounds per year has been sprayed for years on every square inch of the United States because it falls on it in the rain. I mean, that is enough. Enough has been sprayed on the fields and crops that it would cover 1 square mile with 47 pounds of every square mile in the United States. I mean, that's kind of scary.
There's just no telling of how big an issue this is just for humanity, or just, let's just talk about the United States right now, right? I mean, wow.
Yeah, for humanity, it's a very big issue.
Yeah.
We're losing the birds. We're losing the shorebirds because of lack of food. The tiny little critters, the insects have gone down where they study insects in Germany. They're by weight. They went down by 80% in the last 20 years.
Really? Just like
80% of the insects by weight are gone in Germany.
You're talking about just all of them, wasps,
all
bees,
of them. I mean, if you can pile them all up and weigh them, 80% of the insects by weight disappeared in the last 20 years in Germany. Well, I have noticed that I can't find insects. I can't even find spiders very good anymore. And I like spiders. Butterflies are way down. I mean, we have way less butterflies than we used to have. We have way less bees. Bees are pollinators. Butterflies are pollinators. Without pollinators, we're toast.
And do you think it's most about the glyphosates?
No.
No?
Nope. I didn't say most about the glyphosate. I mentioned three. Three that got we got it, plus chloropyrifos, which kills little kids, which they banned and then the Trump administration brought back.
So what are the top ones that you're saying are doing this?
Roundup.
Yeah.
Chlorothalonil.
Chlorothalonil. That's
and Neonics work synergistically to kill all of the things I just mentioned, which is invertebrates and vertebrates, and all the and lots of plants. Roundup was shown to kill native plants before they, when they germinated, the seeds, when they germinated.
What's the second one, chloro?
Chlorothalonil. It's a fungicide that has a cyanide in it.
Oh, good. Oh, that's a cyanide.
It's the most used fungicide in the world. Roundup is the most used herbicide in the world, and Neonics are the most used insecticides in the world. They're made out of nicotine. Nicotine is the chemical in cigarette smoke that causes fetal tobacco syndrome, birth defects, and health issues on human babies, so mothers are not supposed to smoke. So now we give nicotine to every blinking animal and the planet and everywhere, because anything that you spray one place goes all over the world.
So are these Roundup, the chlorinine, and the Neonics, are they used in concert, Judy Hoy, together?
Not necessarily, okay. But they use, like I said, they used a lot. In Idaho, Washington, and Oregon, in 1994, they started using millions and millions of pounds of chlorothalonil. Before 1994, they used less than 100,000 pounds on the potato fields in Idaho alone. That was 40,000 acres of potato fields. They used only 100,000 pounds of chlorothalonil. We didn't have any big problem when they used that much. When they started using millions and millions of pounds of chlorothalonil, we got a great big giant problem. And then they started they were already using Roundup, but not the huge amounts they started using. Like I said, it went up at a 45-degree angle after 1996, the use of Roundup. And Neonics were started being used in about 2006, and everything, and then the pollinators went. Because if the pollinators, like bees, they studied bees, and if they were exposed to both chlorothalonil and the Neonics at the same time, the Neonics killed the bees 1,000 times faster when they were exposed to the chlorothalonil too than the Neonics alone. 1,000 times faster is a whole lot faster.
You think?
I think,
oh,
yes.
Man, I think. Judy, we have a big kind of a lanai tin roof over the entire house for rainwater so there's a space, you know, in between, about 20 feet between that and the roof of the house. And it was a perfect spot for wasps' nests. And I can see some of the old ones, you know, that they would come in there. And years ago, maybe six years, we would have thousands out there. I mean, they would just, man, they would party down and they wouldn't hurt you. They wouldn't attack you. You know, they would just pollinate and whatever they do. I think they ticks too. But you know, for 5 years, we haven't seen, if you see one wasp, you know, you're lucky. They're just not there anymore. I don't know where they went. They're just not there.
Well, if you don't see them, they probably just aren't there.
That is, they're not there. I mean, where'd they all go? They were there for 15 years.
Neonics are very deadly to insects.
So it's coming down in the rain, because even if you're out in the country, not near this stuff, they're getting it somehow.
Right. Also, it blows on the wind. If you just have a wind blow, for example, this is in 1999 on March 19th, my friend drove across Oregon to come back to Missoula, which is a town close to it. Well, come back home. Mm-hmm. He lives not too far from where I live, and he drove all the way across. Let's see. No, not Oregon. Washington. He drove across Washington, and every place he looked as he drove on the highway, there was an airplane spraying the wheat fields, the Washington wheat fields, which there are a lot. They plow right up to their house.
Wow.
And plant a field right up to their house. Anyway, they were spraying, and there was a 20-mile-an-hour wind blowing from the west. It was a nice sunny day, but there was a fairly strong wind blowing from the west. On that day, not March 19th, 1999, at the hospital that I had a spy in, she wasn't a spy, she just was a nurse who reported things to me. She didn't tell me people's names. But she said on that day there were 18 babies born premature, and a lot of them weren't even close to being full term, and they had them stacked in incubators everywhere.
Really? Wow.
And they were spraying not Roundup. They were spraying 2,4-D and other herbicides, but not Roundup. You don't spray Roundup on wheat. And back in 1999, they did not have Roundup Ready wheat yet. So that was 2,4-D or something. I know they used 2,4-D back then.
Yeah, we used to see a lot of bees here too. Are you still there?
Yep.
Oh, your phone clicked, but. They've really cut down too, the amount of bees, probably 75% of what we used to see. So, boy, the bee thing is a big deal, isn't it, around the country, around the world, isn't it? Phew.
Well, yeah, and if we don't fix it, we're toast. I mean, we don't have...
No more food.
It's not the food for us that's the important thing. It's if you don't have the pollinators pollinating all of those flowers and all of those trees and all of those things that all of the other animals depend on, they all go extinct. Without all of those other animals, we go extinct.
Yeah, I know.
To heck with the food, the fact that you don't have any apples to eat, you just will not be here.
Well, planet Earth is a little spooky anyway. I guess there's a lot of better places, but I know what you're saying.
Better places? Where?
Well,
we don't have a planet B.
Well, yeah. Well, there's people living on other planets, though.
Yeah, but you can't get there.
Yeah, and your soul body you can, but that's another story. Okay, so Rich says that he said, here's a sunny day in Pittsburgh taking pictures of flowers, daisies and all that generally, all kinds of bees, nothing. He doesn't see anything. Well, that's no surprise. Lance writes, if you look at a map of the world's jet stream pattern, the over and under bite patterns will follow it. Proofs the cross-drift atomized Roundup. So what's he saying here? The world's jet stream pattern...
Oh, well, the world's jet stream will carry the Roundup, and so the animals that are in the... You know, under the where the jet stream goes, will be more likely to have, even if nobody's using Roundup where they are, can still have underbite. Will still get underbite. For instance, the antelope in the middle of Africa have underbite and malformed genitalia, and nobody ever says much about the malformed male genitalia. That has gotten way worse on the white-tailed deer here. 80% have underdeveloped or malformed genitalia.
Really? Wow.
Including, which I looked at three, I only got to look at three fawns that were males from the 2017, that was last year, from last year's fawn crop, only three. Not one of them had a scrotum. Now, three with no scrotum in a row and no good, no normals really is, that's sort of like more, you have less, more likelihood of winning a lottery than finding three white-tailed deer with no scrotum from the same year, unless there is an extremely high prevalence of no scrotum in that fawn crop.
But again, Paul, just to be clear, you think that your area that you patrol pretty good with your, you know, with all your resources, is much the same would be going on in other parts of the country if people would be studying things as closely as you are, in your opinion?
Right. I can go to Yellowstone Park and look at bison.
Yeah.
I had a biologist from, I think he was from Iowa, and his wife, they told me they were going to Yellowstone Park.
Right.
And he was a animal biologist, a wildlife biologist, so I said, take pictures of the bison that you see, with get pictures of all the big male bison that you can, and that and send them to me. I want to see how many, and see if you see that they have the left half of the scrotum in front of the right, or a very short, weird-looking scrotum, or no scrotum at all, which just leaves a short bump where the testes are pushing on the skin, because the testes always come down and descend through the inguinal rings and go into a horizontal position under the skin if there is no scrotum. So the testes still produce testosterone, so they can still get, they still act like males and everything, but they can't produce viable sperm. Well, that is a problem. Not being able to produce viable sperm. If you have none that can produce viable sperm, which we're working toward, it'll take a while. But if you have no males that can produce produce viable sperm, how do you get any animals?
Well, and look what's happening. I've seen some of the studies in humanity, humans. And,
right,
and the
but
sperm.
There's a lot of humans, so we could afford to lose a few.
Well, that's...
I'm kidding.
I know you're kidding. Well, you got to kid, because this is so spooky. Well, how else can you deal with it? Yeah, wow.
Well, it's always males that tell me I'm lying.
Oh, you mean because they think their sperm is fine, right?
No, because they lie about the... They say there are no birth defects on the bison in Yellowstone Park.
Who tells you that?
The biologist. Male biologist. In Yellowstone Park, the Fish and Game Departments in all the states where I reported this, they said they didn't see any.
Oh, really? Yeah, well.
Yeah, well, yeah. They can't see, obviously, because a five-year-old child can see an underbite, and I don't tell a five-year-old child to look at the underbite, but one walked over and looked at a picture on my coffee table and said, "What's wrong with that fetus? It looks like a duck." No, she said, "What's wrong with that deer? It looks like a duck." She didn't know it was a fetus, but it was an unhaired fetus. That same fetus was sent to the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in Montana, their lab, and they said it did not have a birth defect.
Well, this... Man.
But that was 22 years ago, or 20 years ago. Yeah. So it's that's all water under the bridge, but they still won't admit that any animal has a birth defect, and none of the papers will, except one paper, our local weekly paper wrote a dynamite review of the book, of my book, Changing Faces, but the local daily papers would not, none of the daily papers throughout the state that I sent the information to wrote one word.
No. What do you think the chances are we'll see a Stephanie Seneff and some other people and a Judy Hoy up at a big live Senate committee on chemicals and humanity someday? Do you think that could happen?
Well, Stephanie might get there because she flies all over the place.
Well, you could get there too. We could put you on a buffalo and send you over, man.
Yeah.
We'd get you there.
Well, I'd have to go on a buffalo.
But I mean,
I don't think I can fly. I have Like I said, I have pulmonary fibrosis, right. So I don't do things like flying.
Yeah. No, logistics notwithstanding, I'm just wondering if you think there will be a time. You got to think positively, I guess, in this lifetime.
And how would that do any good? Nobody believes in anything.
They don't,
that
really.
People tell them.
I know. Politicians in this whole thing.
Politicians don't believe anything.
They don't believe
or else,
anything.
And they say they don't believe anything. I mean, I've talked to politicians. I've written to politicians. I have shown them pictures. I have sent ones that were running to for office my book, but whether they ever read anything, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand. Well,
one politician, I told him after he was elected, I showed him a whole bunch of photos of malformed birds and mammals, including domestic animals, and told him as he was our last hope that he really needed to get something done, and this was years ago. And all he said was no pressure and walked away, and obviously there was no pressure because nothing was ever done.
Yeah.
And now we're where we are now, which is with no bees and no males that are viable, et cetera.
How is it, tell folks who don't know you and listening for the first time, that you come in contact and are exposed to so many animals in the wild?
Well, I was, my husband was a game warden for the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in Montana, in western Montana, and he had the whole northern half of Ravalli County to patrol, and he picked up lots of white-tailed deer because they got hit or killed by accident, and people didn't like them right laying around in his yard, in their yard. And so then he would bring them home, and he saw that some of them didn't have a scrotum in spring of 1996.
Wow.
Early in spring, it was like April. And then we got, he brought home, and the one that didn't have a scrotum, the first one that didn't have a scrotum was a yearling. And so we began checking, both of us began checking all the ones he picked up. And then we got seven more in a row that had no scrotum, except one of those had a half a scrotum, not no scrotum. But half a scrotum is just as bad to me as no. Probably not as bad to the deer. But, I mean, it's still a birth defect. So we got eight deer in a row that had problems, and he reported to the biologist that he was seeing this problem on the accident-killed yearlings. So they were all born in 1995, so because they were a year old in 1996. And so the biologist said, the next one you find that you think is malformed, call me so I can come and get it, and I'll take it to the lab. So the next one that was malformed had a really short scrotum, tipped back so that it sort of ran up the belly. It was really close. The penis sheath, can I say that on?
Sure, yeah.
The penis sheath, deer have penis sheaths, sheaths on the external skin, and most of the other animals don't, but the deer do. And it had a very, very short penis sheath that was only 3 inches from the umbilical cord, where the umbilical, well, it's belly button.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was far forward on the belly. The whole genitalia was far forward on the belly, and the scrotum had the left half in front of the right and was tipped back and was weird, very, very weird looking. So Bob called, my husband called, the Fish and Game Department biologist, and he came to get that deer. And Bob also had picked up a yearling that was normal, like they had always been before, and everything was normal on it. And so he sent the biologist took both of them so that they would have the lab would have a comparison to show that we knew what normal was.
Yeah.
Well, what they said when they sent back the lab report, They said the one that was normal, of course. They said the other one had the scrotum turned 90 degrees, but that looked to be an artifact of being dead in one place. And in another place, they said it was caused by the impact with the vehicle. Now, I just told you a little bit ago that there are a jillion buffalo in Yellowstone Park walking around with the left half of the scrotum in front of the right. So, obviously, that's not an artifact of being dead.
Wow. Judy Hoy, what effect do you know of that all this is having on domesticated, well, you talked about the horses, dogs and cats. Have you seen some stuff there?
Well, dogs... I've seen dogs with the left half of the scrotum in front of the right, but it doesn't happen near as often on dogs as on ruminants because dogs aren't eating that much foliage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see dogs and I don't see cats. I do know that they have a rate of cancer in dogs and cats that's astronomical. I know that they put cats with underbite on YouTube all the time and laugh at them.
Well,
and so I don't know what the prevalence is on either, but obviously there are some being born that way.
Right. Well, I think our best bet with these things are all get is totally organic foods and then, and just hope for the best there. That's all you can do.
How do you get organic food when it's raining on it?
Well, I understand. No, I know. Trust me. I know. I know what you're saying, but you got to do something. What are you going to feed them? You might as well go organic and... bless it.
I'm not saying anything against organic. I just wanted everybody to know that there is no such thing as totally organic because it's raining all of these pesticides, not just Roundup and chlorothalonil and neonic, but chloropyrifos and everything everybody sprays upwind, and it goes around the world, and it keeps going around and around until it ends up in the North Pole or the South Pole, depending on which side of the equator it's sprayed. So it takes a really long time before this stuff gets out of the air. And then when the poles melt, like they are now, it all goes back into the cycle again.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
which nobody is considering that either. Maybe that's helping.
Yeah. Here's an email from Steve. I think everyone who hears this show should write a product review on companies that sell Roundup like Lowe's and Home Depot, posting a link to the show. Politicians are very slow to take action, but the grassroots public needs to know what's happening. It's a good idea. Guess you can buy this. Yeah, this stuff's everywhere.
Oh, Roundup, people spray it on their yard.
Oh, I know they do.
Where their little kids play.
I know. And their dogs and cats run around.
Right, but 2,4-D is just as bad. Anytime, like I said, I don't know if I said today or not, when somebody sprayed 2,4-D anywhere near a baby bird, it had underbite after it got underbite after it was hatched.
So this mechanism obviously must be going on in utero with all the people and animals, huh? Starting?
Well, it goes... Well, okay, so... Underbite can happen anytime before the animal is born, even right before, within a week before, if the mom gets a big hit of 2,4-D chlorothalonil Roundup combination. That's the combination that seems to really whack them as far as the underbite. If they are born with a normal bite, like I said, if you sprayed, what was sprayed by the goats and the baby birds was 2,4-D in combination with other toxins like 2,4-D and dicamba, 2,4-D and MCPP, or 2,4-D and picloram, but it always had 2,4-D in it. And now 2,4-D is one of the most used chemicals on the planet because it's taking over because weeds became Roundup resistant, so they now have made, and in its wisdom, the EPA said they could use it, Enlist Ready seeds, which they are now spraying 4D and dicamba combination. That's Enlist. So if you see Enlist Ready Seeds or anything that's sprayed with Enlist, it's sprayed with 2,4-D and dicamba. 2,4-D is one half of Agent Orange. Dicamba is just about as bad as the other half,
wow,
which they banned, which was 2,4-5-T.
Imagine these people. I don't know what they're thinking.
They don't. Oh, I know what they're thinking. Dollars. Of course. You just follow the money. Nobody cares about little kids or little animals. What the heck?
But they got to know what this stuff does. I mean, these people... That,
they do know what it does.
Are they that dishuman or non-human or whatever they are?
All they care about is the money. You wow. take it from there.
Wow. Man. God love you. 2,4-D. So the new one is Enlist Seeds. Is that going to be the new wonder
Enlist
thing?
Enlist Ready Seeds. No, it's not. It's not going to be the new one. It is the new one.
It is the new one.
That's what they've been spraying. That's what they've been planting the last couple, 3 years. I don't remember. I would have to look up to see when they started planting it. But it was okayed for use. And they are using it.
Well, there's certainly a lot of countries other than the United States that are more on the radar of this GMO stuff than we are.
Europe has banned decreased the use of Roundup a whole lot. I don't know if they've got Enlist Ready stuff on Enlist on their radar yet.
Vladimir Putin said, "We don't want it. We're gonna be the biggest organic country in the world. We don't want this GMO stuff." And they don't want it. They don't want anything to do with it over in Russia.
Well, that's good. I don't know a whole lot about how damaging the GMO is, except for the studies that I have read where they fed rats potatoes that were GMO'd, and they fed rats the pesticide that they were GMO'd, you know, that they were supposed to be tolerant to, and the pesticide didn't do anything to the rat, but the potatoes that were GMO'd caused them to have smaller brains, smaller and damaged livers, yeah, and something else.
So do we know then that anything that is genetically GMO food has the Roundup glyphosate component in it, or not necessarily?
Oh, no, they GMO for other things.
But I mean, are all GMO foods also have the Roundup and glyphosate component to them?
No. GMO foods just Roundup Ready crops have
just Roundup GMO, Ready crops.
The Roundup component that whatever they do to change the genetics so that they are resistant to the Roundup are just in Roundup Ready seeds, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I don't know that they have done that to other seeds, but there are some that are resistant to, let's see. I can't remember what the potatoes they GMO'd them so they killed bugs, and those were the potatoes that made their rats all screwy.
Yeah, I think McDonald's said a couple years ago that they're not allowing any GMO potatoes in their French fry things. So that was pretty cool.
Well, that's probably because they read the study.
Oh, my God, really? So did
they didn't want to eat them themselves.
Yeah, and we're getting more and more reports of non-GMO foods being sprayed with glyphosates, you know, to dry them out and everything to make easier harvest. So,
well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why you have a biologically significant amount of glyphosate in all tested human food products and animal food products too, because once you spray wheat or barley or any of those with Roundup right before you harvest it, there is no possible way to get the Roundup off of those seeds.
Yeah, it's not coming, right? It's not getting off of there.
Well, they don't. I don't think you could wash them enough to get it off.
No. Well, God love you. Well, you got your hands full up there in Montana.
Oh well, we've got our hands full all over. While we're talking about things declining, the eagle count, for example, you know, bald eagle, our national symbol.
Mm-hmm.
The count along the Mississippi River in 2013 was 2,492 adults, and then with there were 501 immatures and 29 subadults for a total of 3,103 eagles. In 2018, there were 645 adults.
What?
56 subadults, 144 down from 501 immatures, and that was a total of 877 down from 3,103.
That's crazy.
In 5 years, and they went down each year. And now we're down to the 1960 numbers that they had along the Mississippi River, and that was right before the eagles were declared endangered. So we need to do something fast, or we are not going to have a national symbol either.
How do they count those? How do they do?
Oh, they just I think they float up and down the river and count them as they go. Anyway,
Figure out a way mathematically or to do it.
No, they actually count them. And count them.
I'll be done.
I mean, you know, this is a direct count, and they count the same area along the same stretch of river. And I don't know whether they boat. I don't know if they float down the river. They boat down the river. Mm-hmm. I think they go on a boat, but because they go down the Mississippi River and count all of the same areas by dams, and they count areas where there are dams and locks, because where there are dams is where the water is open, and the eagles congregate in those areas. But so they have it's pretty consistent. It was consistently going up, and now it's consistently going down. And now, 877 as opposed to 3,103 in 5 years.
That's not good. Judy Hoy, okay, thanks. We love you. We thank you for your work. Before we go, would you just give a wrap-up of these cell salts, the calcfos, and the bioplasma, and how our listeners around the world might use them for their animals or themselves to benefit?
Oh, okay. Well, the cell salts are simply an electrolyte that makes the cells uptake the minerals they need to function normally or grow properly or whatever. So if you have a broken bone, for instance, and you take the calcfos twice a day, that's a calcfos 30X, not any other calcfos, 30X twice a day, your bone will heal in half the time.
Hmm.
Half the time is good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, then you won't have to go hobbling around so long. It's really good for little animals, and because they don't have to be in a cast so long. And like I said, the calcfos and the bioplasma, or the calcfos 30X alone, makes the faces grow to normal if you give it quick enough when they're little, or the mother takes it so it goes into the baby. The way I know it goes into the baby is because we gave it to a mother deer in grain, and then her baby, which had contracted tendons, suckled her. It got worse for 3 weeks, and then we gave her the grain with the cell salts, and in less than 3 days, its legs were normal, and it could run as fast as its twin.
Oh. You think we humans...
That's all in my book, by the way.
That's all in the new book. Do you think we humans should maybe take these two or just one of these ongoing?
Well, I take both Because I take both because Zika.
Just because.
I'm old. I'm old, but I get no money from promoting cell salts. I get them from Vitacost.com. That's the cheapest place where I can get them, They're very inexpensive. And if you take them twice, I am 78 years old. I do not take any prescription drugs. I don't have any pain, joint pain, or muscle aches since 3 days after I started taking them. Before that, I couldn't walk.
And you do both of those twice a day, and how many each time?
Oh, just one.
Oh, just one.
Well, yeah, it says four on the stupid bottle, and I called him and asked him, why do you say four? And he said, I don't know, it sounded good.
You're kidding.
Yeah, that just wastes three of them.
Oh, so
the animals have told me, I mean, humans you never trust, but the animals told me that the Calc Floss 6X, the effects of it last for 6 hours. So if you have very severe symptoms, you should take it again in 6 hours or a little bit before 6 hours. The Bioplasma lasts for 3 hours. And so if you have very bad symptoms, I just recommend taking both, one tablet of each every 4 hours. But as soon as you get all better, then you can go back to one tablet night and morning. One tablet of each night and morning.
But you do like the Calc Floss 30X the best. Right.
Well, it's not that I like it the best. It's the one that works the
best. That's what I mean. It works. You know, it works.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The animals said so.
Yeah.
I mean, they healed in half the time. With 6X, it took 2/3 the time, which is not as good as half the time.
In general, are you seeing a lot of disruption in the malformation of the... I know you have a lot of horses up there.
Oh, well, yeah. The horses had... I haven't seen any horses lately, and I haven't heard about any colts. But in 2001, I was told that 50 foals were shot by their owners. You know, shoot, shovel, and shut up. That's the way they work here. Huh. They didn't report these to anybody, but I was told by a friend that they knew of 50 horse foals that were shot and just... buried because they had underbite and or crooked legs. And that was 2001. But I know that there's been foals born with underbite since then. And in 2001, my neighbor's mares in 2001 and 2002, the neighbor girl's mares had foals with underbite, and we fixed every one of them, and that's in the book.
Oh, me done. Well,
with before and after photos.
So they actually call it shoot, shovel, and shut up.
Yeah, shoot, shovel, and shut up. That's what you do when you don't want anybody to know your animals are malformed, because nobody will buy them if they find out you have malformed animals.
Wow. Her book is called Changing Faces: The Consequences of Exposure to Gene and Thyroid Disruptive Toxins. I suspect these things are disrupting thyroids in humanity. It's an epidemic of low thyroids.
disrupted thyroid. I mean, bad thyroids is absolute epidemic in the United States and probably in Canada. From what I hear from my Canadian colleagues, the malformations and on the babies and the cancer and the thyroids and... it's just astronomical in some of the provinces, like New Brunswick, for instance.
Yeah. And if you pick up Judy's book on Amazon, all of the profits will go to the full name of that again?
Oh, Bitter Red Audubon Wildlife Rehabilitation Fund. To pay for the food and medicine for the wildlife. And if 1 million people buy a book, then I will also donate to the... to finding why the eagles are declining and et cetera. Because it's not my money, it's in the fund.
Yeah. Well.
I get nothing except the pleasure of saving critters.
Well, at 78 revolutions around the sun, you're doing good. You remember all these figures. It's great. Your mind is clear and good job, Judy.
Oh, well, that's because I take Calc Floss.
Oh, that's because you take your cell salts. Yeah.
Yeah, the Calc Floss... Did you know that in order for you to think clearly, calcium has to go in and out of your brain cells. Oh, I can't remember. It's either it's 20,000 times a second or 200,000 times a second.
Yeah.
It's a huge number, which boggled my mind. And if it's not doing that, and if it's not able to do that because of all the chemicals in the air, if I get exposed to 2,4-D, I can't remember my own name or my friends' names or how to add, subtract, multiply, divide, or I can't remember a phone number long enough to dial it.
No kidding. Wow.
And that's what 2,4-D does to me. Mm.
So even if you don't want the book, you don't care, buy the book. Yeah, just buy it and put it on your shelf, and you'll be supporting the little animals.
Now look at the pictures. There's lots of pictures.
Yeah, lots of pictures.
You'll be impressed by the pictures.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it today. It's on, so you get a paperback, right? $12, prime. I'll have it in 2 days. I like it. I like it. All right, Miss Hoy, God bless you. Thanks for your work, and let us know whenever we can help to help your work, and we'll be glad to be right there with you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having me on today.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, dear.
And if you want a free book, I would send it.
No. I want to pay for it. I want to buy one. All right. Thank you, sweetie. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a great gal. Can you imagine dedicating your life to this kind of... That's just great, man. Boy, if I really thought about all this stuff with the animals, I'd start crying, man. And the little babies. Well, Planet Earth, we're doing the best we can. And stick around one radio network, and we'll try to give you, you know, the best options you can to keep yourself healthy and wealthy and wise. Hi, Doodle. You want to go outside? Doodle's ready to go outside. Doodle and I were taking our calc floss and our bioplasma. Why not? You get the cell salts at Vitacost. I think they can get them on Amazon, too. And they're very inexpensive. All right, we have lots to do today to prep for Andy Goss's show. We got a big show coming up tomorrow about money. And we're going to talk to a chiropractor lady. And she said, not the food that you eat, it's what you absorb on Thursday. So we have lots to do. Anna Bergstrom will be here next Monday. We appreciate your ongoing support. If you're looking to invest some money into your health, we think our products that we have, the Sir Thrival, Shen Blossom, the Bluetooth, Ken Rolas, the Rebounder, the Sauna, the Aloe, Phil Wilson, Phil and the Iodine Source, Man, and all the different, I'm forgetting some, and the Sulfur. These are all great products. We know where they come from, and that's how we support whatever we do here, pay our house payment and all that stuff, and... So whenever you need something, please consider buying some of our products. And if not, well, just listen, and that's fine, too. See you tomorrow with Andrew Goss.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.